we'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and today I am here with co-host Austin, and we're starting a new month theme all around connection. This fantastic heart leader attribute allows us to actually not only connect with each other, but understand how to connect very deeply within, to connect with ourselves and what we desire and how we desire to really present ourselves out and into the world. So we're going to dive deep into our own journeys and how we connected with who we are, and then how we connected with each other. I know we've talked about this quite a bit in other podcasts, but there are still so many other things to explore because, like you, we are very multifaceted people, and there's so much that has happened in our journey. And when we can learn from one another and our unique journeys, then it just helps us all grow and connect. So we're going to start there, Austin, with personal journeys to connection. And I know I've asked you many times about your journey because I had the honor of being there with you through that, of really witnessing how vulnerable you allowed yourself to be when stepping back and asking those really hard questions. And connection really requires that, that aspect, many of the heart leader attributes we've talked about, the vulnerability, the transparency, the honesty with self, as well as with other people. So the reason that this attribute comes where it does is because we really do have to be willing to create a solid foundation with the ones that preceded so that we can begin to even connect with ourselves, right? Because if I'm hiding from myself, then there's no way that I can truly connect with you or anyone else. But I haven't necessarily shared a lot of my story through this process, and that's been pointed out to me. And so I do want to take some time to connect with everyone and share some of my own story in this whole flow.
I'd love that.
But what I would like to do, because I'm not so good, honestly, at talking about myself, I am so interested in everyone else's journey. Not that I dismiss my own, it's just like I truly have this hunger to understand the unique journeys of those around me that I sometimes forget. So you know me inside and out and upside down. Where would you suggest, knowing me the way that you do, that I even begin in doing something like that?
Fortunately, I am very interested in your story as your love. That has always been a big draw. I mean, since the moment we met, really, just learning about you and how you approach life and, you know, things that seemed really natural for you was an experience that I hadn't actually seen. The way that you embody love, again, was something I hadn't actually seen to that level. And so I know that's something we've always talked about is just, you know, it does feel natural to you. And honestly, it should, well, should's a weird word, but, you know, it would be nice if it did feel very natural, because I do feel that we all are love. And as we talked about in a previous podcast, that love is first nature, right?
Yes.
And so it's really, you know, we've been taught by society and, you know, family, friends, you know, pop culture, I mean, you name it. I don't know if all of those, I'm not saying are all nefarious by any means. It's just kind of the way things have kind of been, I don't like saying that either, but that's kind of where people are at. And so we haven't been taught to celebrate who we are naturally. We are taught to almost go outside of self to learn and experience who we are through others. And that's where I think is the disconnect when it comes to actually connecting.
Yes.
And so when I saw you, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel like you were going around and kind of gathering things outside of yourself to understand who you are. Now, that's how I had been taught. And again, not a bad thing, neither good nor bad, just was.
Yeah.
And I just not seen anything else that way. So maybe if you're willing, the reason why I'm kind of talking about all this and providing some context is because I feel like it would be a really great place to start about where in your life you started to really be aware of you approaching life from the inside out versus the outside in. Like, what was that trigger that realized, wow, everyone around me is kind of bringing everything outside to in, and, you know, why am I doing something different?
Well, thank you for giving me a starting point.
Yeah.
And for all of that. Because ultimately it has been, and I don't know, maybe others have felt this way, but it has always been a little bit like I was wearing a shoe that didn't fit in my personal life. Not, again, from like a bad place, but the way that I felt and the way that I lived always seemed very different in context from normal social structures. Like, I had, like you had, so much on paper in so many ways, but that wasn't what satisfied me. What satisfied me was true, deep connections with the people that I cared about. But when you're in executive level positions at companies, or you're in these roles that you work so hard to get into, those deep connections really aren't supported, or because getting too close to your staff, that's not seen as good. You have to keep them at a distance in order to be able to let them go if you need to, or in order to instill fear in them to get them to work. And I know we talked with Linda about that a little bit in the last podcast, you know, like fear and pushing and dominating, that was the structure. And again, it came from a place of, we need to get these individuals to work hard. And if we have this structure, then they will. It's a hierarchy. You are in charge for a reason. But that never really felt an alignment. To me, I desired to inspire them, not instill fear in them. And the only way I could inspire them was to connect with them, to know them, to be on the same page with them. Because if I didn't know them, if I didn't know what was going on in their personal lives, then how could I relate to them when they came into work and things were misaligned for them in the office? If I didn't understand that someone was going through a divorce, or someone was navigating the loss of a loved one, or any number of things, then how could I truly create a work environment that would support helping them be the best they could within the office? And so that's where I kind of remembered how I always was prior to being a grown-up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid, I always had those attributes. Yeah. I always had that within me. And then you hit adulthood and you are shown what it means to be an adult. And if you desire to get ahead, if you desire to get this job or that job or this position or that position, then you must behave this way. Mm-hmm. Here's your box, stay within it, and you will move ahead.
Right.
And so I did. I started to conform to the box so that I could meet the regulations and have those experiences. And I'm grateful that I did, and I'm grateful for all of the amazing opportunities I was given by some super amazing people in my life. But once I was in that box, I was like, oh my gosh, this does not fit. It doesn't feel good because I don't have the opportunity to connect with the people that I'm meant to not even necessarily lead, but guide. These people are skilled. They have worked hard to get to where they are too. So why am I telling them how to do what they know how to do? Why am I not there to create pathways to make it easier for them to do what they're meant to do? That should be my role. Yes. And so when that connection, because of the box I was in, was not allowed, it just woke me back up. I was like, I can't do this. And then there was a moment where I was told I had to let someone go for standing up for what they believed in. Mm. And they didn't do it in a negative way. They didn't do it in a harsh way. They were honoring of everyone involved. They simply spoke their piece and what they believed in. And because they did it in a context where egos didn't feel good about it, I was told I had to let them go. Mm. So that's again where don't be connected to them, because you may have to end their livelihood in a heartbeat. Mm. And so I did what I had to do because it was a contract, made certain that that person had an avenue after, but also terminated my employment at the organization the very next day, because I had to look at myself and create that connection within and say, is this who I desire to be? Can I be this person who, well, first, do I stand a chance of changing anything within this organization? Can I shift anything? And the answer I knew in my soul was no. Like, the structure was the structure. Again, not good, not bad. It was where it was and it fit for that organization. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm not going to change something within, then I need to change something within me. And so the best thing I could do was remove myself from that situation and focus on changing what was within me and create that connection to who I knew myself to be. And that's the journey I started on.
What an interesting point you bring up with all of that. Because, and I want to dive into this more, because you just hit and never really thought about it. Like, with all of that amazing perspective you just shared and what really inspired you to not only A, kind of bring your childhood back in and say, this is who I really am, and apply this as adult, which is amazing. But what you said about going into an organization and changing it from within. I mean, how often do we see books or movies or stories about people who want to go into an organization and make a change from within? It's very common. Like, we're aware that that's a thing. But why don't we apply that to ourselves?
Yeah. It's very important. And yes, it is helpful to go into an organization and change it from within. But if you're not strong enough within to handle all that will come at you as you do that, then there's a high probability that that organization will change you instead.
Right. And that works on a personal level as well. Uh-huh. Right? I mean, that's how influenced we can be when we're not aware within ourselves and creating that depth of connection and that strength and foundation of who we are, you know, obviously allowing ourselves to evolve, because we're not like a static individual for the however long we're alive, right?
Yeah.
We're not just one way. We have to allow room for growth and evolution and movement, steps back, steps forward, etc. Because we are flowing. Just the universe is ever expanding, and so should we be. But at the same time, we can determine our direction. And it's hard to really know where we desire to be and determine that direction if we aren't aligned with who we are. And I feel like that's where you and I really connected. And when I saw that in you, when I've been fortunate to be around individuals who, you know, have been successful mainly monetarily. And, you know, I'd always look up to them and see what they just, you know, okay, well, how did they get to where they were? But then I'd look at their family life or other aspects of their lives and, you know, is very, you know, very different than that aspect. So I was like, it was very confusing. Did I have to sacrifice other areas or only be successful in one area? And why is success then a broad stroke for all of that? You know, that didn't align. So when I met you, I saw that success was in all areas of your life. And it was not boastful. It was very humble. You know, it was not outside to in, it was inside to out. It was centered and it was loving. It wasn't, oh, look at me and what I can do. It was, this is just, I am. This is just who I am. And that was it was just so much peace and joy in the state of your being. And then you allowed that state of being to direct into your doing. And I hadn't seen it that level. And so that I feel after observing you, not only as a mentor, not only as a best friend, not only as a lovey. it's, to this day, it's still extremely inspiring. And I feel like I'm like the luckiest fly on the wall that I get to watch and see you grow still in that and pull from this inner strength to inspire through action. It's like when you provide purpose and intention, everything you do therefore becomes purposeful. So it's not about finding your purpose or anything like that. It's really about being it, because then you don't have to find anything. You just are your purpose. But all of that starts from the source thing, which is inside. It is that strong foundation.
And I see it in you too. And to me, that goes back to connection, right?
Yeah.
When I'm connected within, and I'm connected to my actions, my feelings, my emotions, it has to start within. That's why we say everything starts with self-love, because it has to start within and knowing who I am and loving myself. But then that gives me the strength to meet you where you are.
Right.
And then to connect with you where you are and not desire to change you. Not desire to turn you into me, but to appreciate how amazing you are for who you are, for where you are, to see you and to love all of those things about you. And then to allow that to inspire me and to help me realize new and different things within myself. And so that we're constantly connecting back and forth that way. And it's, connection is a two-way thing, right? It's not like I connect and I just send or I just receive. It's a two-way thing. And that's why, you know, tools for connection, eye contact, right? We don't break eye contact very often. There's an energy that goes with eye contact. Now, I'm not going to stare at you like this. That's going to make you feel a little uncomfortable and be kind of creepy, right? But I'm also not going to constantly break away and look like this, because then I'm not present with you.
Right.
But if I'm looking at you as I'm talking with you, then we're connected and we're present with each other. There's also a heart energy. You know, heart math talks about it, the heart coherence. Mm-hmm. And then the brain entrainment that starts to happen as we're talking because we're sharing with each other.
Yeah.
So all these energies that we're starting to measure now with the science that's caught up to the ability to measure these things. So we're connected. And it doesn't just happen with two people. It can happen with large groups of people who are connected in that way.
Yeah.
Meditation is a great way for us to do the very same thing. Obviously, we're not making eye contact with everyone, but we can use our voices doing mantra or prayer or any one of those things, singing the same song,
right,
to get in a sync and get that heart and brain entrainment and coherence so that we're all syncing up and we're creating a connection. And if we can do that in those kind of groups, then we can do it in larger groups and we can even do it planetarily.
Yeah.
And that would make such a huge difference. But it still has to start first with me going within myself and making certain that I have that connection to who I am. So once I start connecting with everyone else, if somebody comes at me who's a little bit wobbly, it's not going to knock me off center.
Right. That makes sense. Do you feel that the disconnect may be centered in one of the reasons, like, why humans tend to feel very little about themselves? You know, as someone who's experienced that myself and as someone who has talked to a lot of people, you know, we tend to think too little of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like maybe that might be one of the reasons why there's disconnection? And I'd like to kind of dive into that a little bit and get your perspective on that and how to flip the script, not from place of ego, because it's like, you know, oftentimes we've talked about that where, hey, we think too little of ourselves, so then we overcompensate and get egoic in our approach. So how do we move through that and recognize that, you know, we're not just this little thing? I mean, yes, we are this very little thing, you know, in the cosmos, right? But how do we find our place while being centered in that, recognizing that we are a part of this big picture?
Yeah, it's such a great question, because when you do, at least I can only speak for myself, once I started really connecting with who I am, there is that realization of, oh my gosh, I am part of the oneness that is all things. So I am a small piece of something so big. So it is humbling. You do get to that humbling point of, okay, I may have felt like I was this grand thing, and I am this grand thing, but I'm also this small piece of something so much grander. But we also must realize that just like every other piece of the puzzle, we are so important to the whole picture as that individual piece. Because if our piece wasn't there, then it would be so noticed. There would be like this big gaping hole where we're meant to be. And so I always think about it like that, like, okay, but if my piece wasn't here, then the whole puzzle wouldn't be a whole puzzle. So I can't be overly egoic or centered on myself because I'm not the whole puzzle. I'm a piece of the puzzle, but I am a piece of the puzzle. So if I wasn't here, there would be a big hole.
Gotcha.
And so it's important to always keep that in mind while we're navigating through this. You know, we're all important. Every single living conscious being is important in the flow of the universe. And when we really start to connect with that, and right now we've just been talking about other people,
yeah,
But there are so many conscious beings on our planet. So many conscious beings.
Right.
We take the time to connect with our pets, right? I've had people ask me, how could you have reptiles as pets? Do you ever take the time to truly connect with a reptile? They actually are very sweet creatures.
And trees.
And trees.
Right? I mean, science shows how connected they are. I mean, they're probably even more connected than humans are, which is really fascinating because humanity likes to put themselves saying, oh, we're top of everything and we're above everything in terms of our conscious level, but yet we still have problems connecting the basic things. And trees are far more connected. And, you know, if one of them is struggling, they'll put resources towards that other one to help that one, you know, and we're over, you know, humanity is over here fighting to even help each other.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, great point.
We haven't yet come to understand how to distribute our resources in a way that helps those who need it.
Right.
Trees figure that out.
Right.
And so we have such an opportunity to connect outside of our own conscious collective and begin to learn from others. Bees are amazing at the way that they handle the hive. So if we took the time, and I know people are beginning to study and understand and research the behavior of insects, but there is so much that we can learn from other conscious collectives on here, on our own planet. So it would be amazing to take this connection attribute. And if we're heart leaders, mm-hmm. and we're leading a life of love, to begin to ask, okay, so how can I connect within myself and ask myself daily, what would I do from a place of love for myself, for others, for the planet, for all creatures on the planet? How can I connect from that place and be more connected with the people I love and with other beings and other creatures here so that I'm creating this environment from that space?
I love that. As we talked about, what would love do, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of an extension of that. And the reality is that connection stems from heart. And heart, you know, is love. And love is the one thing that kind of transcends all of it. Time, space, animal, trees, people. I mean, we see it all. Science behind, if we tell a tree that we love it, in that we appreciate it, and it'll grow beautifully. Same with an animal. We see animals grieve. We see them be happy. We see them love and connect with each other, with other species, with humans. Yeah. And we even have, obviously, of course, we see love within ourselves as humans. And so it is interesting that when we think about connection, most of the time, you know, I definitely struggled with this. I always thought it was in the head. You know, what am I doing? I kind of got too stuck up here. And then not realizing that by doing that, I'm unintentionally disconnecting, creating the opposite of what I desire to experience. Mm-hmm. And so the truth of the connection is from the heart. And when we can pull from here, you know, we need some logic, right? You know, in order to strengthen the connection and build a solid foundation with not only ourselves, but those around us and our everything around us, you know, we need to be able to effectively communicate. So sometimes it takes logic in order to approach things in that way. But if we're so focused on how, and again, we've talked about this as well, like if we're so focused on how we're going to be received or present ourselves and all of this stuff, then we're losing this again and we're pulling back up to here and we're forgetting who we are. We're losing ourselves in the process of attempting to be ourselves.
Yeah.
And then that's a slippery slope. You know, I've walked that for many, many years until I met you and I saw that pure heart connection that allowed like a waterfall of love to throw into all aspects of who you are, that gave you that confidence, that empowerment, but that still that gentle care that stems from love. You know, that's what inspired me and still does to this day.
and I see it reflected right back through you. And I feel like that's what happens when connection occurs. Mm-hmm. It's like the string of lights, right? Mm-hmm. You know, power flows through one into the next, into the next, into the next. That's the power of love, right? Yeah. If we truly open ourselves up and we connect to that, we, not just a little, not just in namesake, but we truly open ourselves up to embody love. And we agree to be consciously aware of every choice we're making in that moment, not thinking ahead. And yeah, we do. We've had some folks talk about, you're always talking about being present. We do, because when you're present with your choices, with the people you're with everything that you're doing, your actions, your choices, your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, then you're creating the space to direct all of those things. You're directing whether you choose to engage or you choose to disengage in certain experiences. You're directing whether you are fully open to being that channel and that embodiment of love, mm-hmm. or whether you're going to get caught up in the drama. And you're going to allow yourself to be pulled outside of self and get thrown into that loop that may not be serving you. But you only do that if you're present. Otherwise, you might not be feeling or thinking. You may just be reacting. And suddenly, you're in the throes of something and you're like, how did I even get here? It's so unconscious.
Yeah.
That you don't even know how you got to a place. So you aren't connected even to the actions you're taking. And so that's another point of connection, is if you're not connected, you end up somewhere you don't even know how you got there in life.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely caught myself, and still to this day, I still catch myself, you know, getting outside and like, did I lock the door?
Yeah,
you know, because I'm in such autopilot, I'm thinking about other things. And I think that's a lot of people can probably relate to that in some aspects of their life. You know, they're, you know, whether we're brushing our teeth or doing the dishes or some of these kind of quote unquote mundane aspects of life, we kind of put ourselves on autopilot and become unconscious, and we lose that presence, and then we just kind of coast, if you will. And still to this day, I'll have to, you know, okay, stop, come back, pull back, and make sure I lock the door. But it's almost like a reset for myself to be like, man, okay, when I do that, then I need to look at all aspects of my life and say, okay, if I'm doing this here, I'm absolutely doing it in other areas. So I need to stop, pull back, and reassess and understand, where am I being unconscious? And so how can we do that? We can start by being really present. When I am washing dishes, when I am brushing my teeth, and some of those mundane things, bring more presence, intention, and purpose into those little things. And that can help create connection. That can help bring us into the present moment. And because the present moment is really the only moment that ever exists.
Yeah.
So when we talk about connection, not only to others, which it's really key to be present, because that's how we listen, that's how we receive, that's how we give, those kind of things. But if we aren't even willing to do that and be that for ourselves, as you were saying in the very, very beginning of this podcast, how can we show up and be that for others? We can't. It's going to be limited. So the more that we can practice that for ourselves, take the time to listen to our thoughts, which is where meditation comes into play. Take the time to be aware of what our body needs by, instead of just throwing something in your face to eat, you know, what is my body looking for right now? What would fuel me in this moment to help me get to achieve what I desire to achieve? You know, if I need to really focus for the rest of the day, then maybe a really heavy lunch isn't going to get me there, because it might make me want to fall asleep. Exactly. The reality is, I need something light and energetic to really get me to push through.
And that's such a good point.
Right?
Especially with some of the things we've navigated recently, people really have gotten on more of a health kick. And I've had some individuals come forward and ask about nutrition and integrative health services, which is such a blessing. But what they desire to do is go on to this thing that they've heard about or that thing that they've heard about. My friend had success here, but that isn't a fix for everyone. What we need to do, as you so wonderfully said, is listen to what your body needs, which means you need to be connected to all of your bodies, your physical, your mental, your emotional, your spiritual, like all aspects of that part of you matter. And we need to actually sit down and help understand how you connect to all levels of self so that you can hear what that is, as you just said, because what works for you, and we navigate this in our own home, what fits for you physically to put in your body doesn't fit for me to physically put in my body. We have two different needs for nourishing ourselves.
We're not the same person.
We're not.
It wouldn't make sense.
So it's important to allow yourself that freedom and not just, okay, I'm in a rush. I'm going to shove this into my body and hope that it fits.
Mm-hmm. And same with emotion. Because we get so busy and we're doing all those other things, sometimes we'll suppress emotion or just get over something without realizing that it's like the very thing that's festering and keeping us from actually being conscious and presence in other things. Yeah. So we need to take the time to actually flow through those emotions, understand it, journal. Talk to someone, think it through, feel it through, like actually allow yourself to feel. I mean, we don't think emotion, we feel emotion. So take the time to feel. That's what the heart and love is all there for. So experience it. And then, if we really feel disconnected and we can't put a thumb, can't put a finger on it, we're just like, what is this thing that is so, that I just feel disconnected from everything and everyone around me? Maybe start diving into spirituality, what practices am I doing? Whether you're atheist or not, spirituality can still be experienced.
Right. It's
connection. Mm-hmm. In essence, it is connection. And it starts again, back to self. And so when we aren't fully connected to who we are, then again, we can't be fully connected to everything and everyone around us. And so it's all these, we kind of been in this society of looking outside of ourselves to find the problem. And the solution is out there because the problem is in here. And kind of it's really more or less the opposite. Yeah. It's more like the problem tends to be out there and the solution is truly in here. And you brought up intuition.
Done.
Right? Yeah, you brought up intuition. What is intuition? It's connection. At its very source, it's connection. And that's within ourselves.
Yeah. So much so. And as you were saying, like if there's an emotional component, sometimes that emotional component will trigger us to cover it with food.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that because we're ignoring it and we're burying it, well, we're going to bury it with other emotions, getting caught in other drama outside of us so that we don't have to look at the drama that's going on within us. Getting food to suppress it and push it down. There's all of these ways that we tend to not connect with what's really happening, but instead cover it with other things. Whereas if you do take time to look at practices that will fit for you, however you find them, but the key is to look at, and we'll have some of them in the guide that we're putting out, the connection guide, so that you can begin to start to explore these things, how to connect with yourself, how to connect with your emotions, how to connect with your body, how to connect with others. These are things that need to be deep and long lasting so that you can be stable and remain in that place. And if you get knocked sideways, it's okay, because we all do.
Yeah.
Right? It happens. It's a crazy world. Crazy. So it's going to happen, but then at least you have tools to go back to get yourself reconnected and recentered so that you can continue to move on.
All right. It's a great point. As we're building out our educational resources here and working with Linda and this other amazing individuals we're bringing on to our team right now.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're talking about building that foundation, right? And it's so key, no matter, we were just having this discussion yesterday in a team meeting, right? No matter how much of a master or expert, or, you could have studied forever about it, you always have to go back to the basics. And I think that's also something in our, when it comes to us as adults, and I think you brought beautifully at the beginning of this conversation. It's like, well, when I feel disconnected, it's because I forgot to bring in my childhood as an adult. I forgot to go back to my basic as a human. What is the basic form of human is childhood. That's what evolves us into an adult. And so we've been kind of taught to like shed our childhood and shed who we were, because it's like, oh, you've got to grow up and you got to be an adult and this is a very different thing. It's like, no. I mean, yes, but no.
Yeah.
There's an important part. The reason why you become an adult is because of the experience of childhood. So if you can do what you beautifully did, which is pair the joy and the bliss and the drama-free experience of and not every child has the luxury, and I do understand that, and so I want to preface that. But the point is that most children are very present. We can all say that. They're not worried about what they're going to say, how they're going to look, all these things that we deal with as adults. They're very present. They want to kind of talk about a bunch of things and ask you questions, and they have that curiosity, which is key to creativity, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we can pull the best parts of what it means to be a child and add that into the adult, oh man, I mean, that's just us being connected at every level. That's us diving into and embracing all aspects of our humanity at every level of self.
And it's really exciting.
Yeah.
When you truly connect to that, there's like this excitement that builds in you for life. And I know when I was in that place where I was consistently agreeing to be in these little boxes, like, this is where you are. Like the Carlton dance, right? Don't move from here. Stay right here. I felt so stuck and so heavy, and my desire to be playful and creative, like, it just wasn't there because I felt weighed down. And that's when I got sick. It's when all of these other things happened in my life, which when I look back, I'm still grateful even for that because it taught me so much. I have no regrets throughout my entire life. And I know some people will say, you always have regrets, but I don't. Because every segment of my life taught me something and brought me here. But I do look back and I remember how heavy and weighed down it all felt. And then the moment I was like, no, like this does not fit for me and I have a choice. Now, I'm not telling everyone to go in and quit their jobs, right? That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is connect with what fits for you. Evaluate your situation and make the decision that will lead you to the deepest connection for yourself. And that's what I had to do. And when I did that and I reconnected with me, then all of that fell away. Even fears about, am I going to be able to make it? That came forward so strongly. I leave this job, which is so financially secure, so is creating so many opportunities for me. Like the pathway up was so open and paved. Will I be okay? There's so many questions and fears that one could ask. So I could choose to connect with that, or I could choose to connect with myself and my ability to create my own life, my own joy, in my own way. And that's what I chose to connect with. And so we all have to find that within ourselves. And yeah, there were some really challenging times, but I had to continue to find the joy and find the flow and find my way through all of it and still know that I was safe and I would always find my way, right? And that's what led to all of this. We can't allow ourselves to get drugged down in the challenging times. Because if we do, then we're giving way to the external again, right? And so even in those really heavy times, we have to make choices. That's when we really need to make the choices, because they're going to happen. It's not like you make one choice, you're free, and it all suddenly changes. The connection to your choice must be chosen again and again and again and again.
Well said. Yeah. So alignment is key to connection. Mm-hmm. That's alignment within ourselves. That, you know, I like what you said about, you know, for example, for you, quitting your job was one of those things, but it was, that's not the doing you're telling other people to do. It's hey, evaluating what's inside, whether it fits or not for me. And as you start to align, things like that will fall away. You'll make choices that will then bring you into alignment versus take you out of alignment. And I think that's really good, because that to me is the practical application. Because for some people, it could be simple things. You know, for me, like, I know I was struggling so much in getting in alignment with my back injury. I felt out of alignment. And for me, it was, you know, diet was a huge aspect of that. So until I aligned in my diet, let the things that were causing me inflammation, which were causing more problems, and I got rid of I chose to get rid of the inflammatory foods and eat something that was actually more beneficial to my body, then I felt aligned. And then my body healed. And so it's those kind of things that we can start to apply. And, you know, it doesn't have to be these big, big life changes. It can be something really, really simple. Whatever it is that you're seeking to align with, just start with, you know, what's the baby step? You know, what's the ultimate small thing that can just take you one little thing forward? If that's all you can handle right now, that's fine. It's not a race.
Yeah. And actually, that's perfect. Because ultimately, it's the small steps that lead to the biggest changes.
Right.
And so, yeah, not everyone's going to walk in and just like, okay, I'm done. That was what fit for me.
Right.
But for nearly everyone else that I've met and know, it is those small little steps that have profoundly changed their connection with themselves, their connection with their families, their connection with their careers, all of it. Mm-hmm. Over what to them seemed like it would be such a long time, but as they took every little step, then they looked back and a year passed, but it seemed like it flew.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, everything's changed. I don't even recognize who I was when I started, in a very good way, in the best possible way. They have this confidence, they have this connection with who they are and what they desire. Like, their whole life didn't suddenly change, but little things that meant so much changed.
Right.
And we're all capable of that.
Great. And to give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes we'll be the first one to, for our friends, our family, to help them through, give them that love, that care, and say, yeah, you know, just, you know, I've got you. You know, let's take one little thing at a time. But when it comes to their own progress, you know, I mean, and I've done this to myself a lot. And we can be our hardest critics and we can pull ourselves down when the whole goal is actually to lift ourselves up. And so, you know, just being able to take those little steps and give ourselves that gracious and loving kindness understanding through that process. And like for me, I feel more aligned than I've ever been, but that's really only about 5 or 6 years. I spent a good 20 years not being aligned. And so that's a lot of time. That's a lot to make up.
Yeah.
And so even myself, like, I have to be like, okay, wow. Yeah. That's a lot, you know, got to give myself a break and recognize that I'm, you know, so much of my time in my life was spent me being who I'm not, me being disconnected compared to the time that I actually have been connected. So again, part of that connection, giving ourselves that love, that grace, and continuing to move forward in the connection, knowing that over time it will overcome all of that and be a vast majority of my experience.
And I like how you brought up connected to gratitude, right?
Yes.
Because if we're connected to the gratitude of the situation, you know, it's just like anybody. If you're getting gratitude for what you're giving, then you're more willing to give more of it.
Yeah.
And so even with ourselves, if we're giving ourselves gratitude for the steps that we're making, then it's like, hey, I'm actually doing great at this. I want to keep doing this. Yes, let's keep pushing forward. Let's keep moving forward. And sometimes we forget to celebrate the small wins. Mm. We're like our own harshest critic.
Yeah.
Because of the negative brain bias that we talk about so often on this show. And so it takes a lot to reprogram that and start looking at the positive and looking at the things we're doing well and really starting to refocus, not in that, you know, look at me, I'm the best, but in that, hey, I am making strides forward, and those strides forward are getting me to where I desire to go. So let's keep doing this. And for anyone who's ever had a workout routine or hired a personal trainer, you know that that matters so much, because if you feel like you're not getting anywhere with a workout, you kind of stop. But a personal trainer being there, helping you understand and you seeing the results, you're like motivated to keep going on. Well, the same is true with that connection within, with that forward movement and being able to see that progress. If we're seeing it and we're recognizing it, even in the smallest bits, then we're so like, yes, I've got this. I'm doing it. I can keep moving forward. But if we're just so focused on the action that we're not stepping back and realizing the result, then we start getting tired and we stop engaging.
Very well said, my love.
So give yourself some high fives every now and then.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. And part of being connected and being aligned is recognizing when we are aligned. And so the more that we can, by celebrating, we are providing awareness to ourselves that we're in recognition of when we're aligned. When we can recognize it, then we can do that more. We can be that more. And that can become our perpetual state. As much as possible. But that eventually, the more we do that, that will far outweigh the disconnected times. And that's really the goal, because we're not perfect. We're not going to be always connected all the time, always present all the time. It's just, it's not feasible.
It's not human.
It's not human, right? And so sometimes we need those disconnected moments to understand who we are.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But the key is the more that we can be aware, the more that we can be connected and present in that connection, the deeper, the stronger, and you know, that will become, and that will lead to a deeper, stronger foundation in terms of how we feel about ourselves, the relationships we have with others, whether they're romantic, whether they're family, friends, and all that, whether they're coworkers. And ultimately, it's from that energy that it can expand. And that can be something we as a species, as humanity, can build. And that is love in action.
And I love how you kind of bring up the whole expanding and having the awareness of being connected. Because as we're expanding out from that point of connection, or even recognizing when we're disconnected, we do it from that, this is where I am, but that doesn't mean that I have to be like, you're not there. Mm. I'm here, you're not there. Let me tell you how to be here.
Right.
because that means we are disconnected. If we start doing that, that's our first sign that we're disconnected.
Yes.
Because when we're aligned, we're not out to show someone else where they are lacking, right? Mm-hmm. We're flowing and we're sending out the love. It's not our place to tell someone else where they're in lack. Mm-hmm. It is our place to hold the space for them for their own self-discovery. Now, we may give tools if someone is asking or seeking. We may provide advice if someone is asking or seeking. Otherwise, when you're like flowing, it's more about holding the space and being the example. But if we feel this inherent need to go tell everyone, there was, I forget his name, you might be able to remind me, the one who did that show where it's so spiritual. It was amazing. We'll have to look it up. But this individual who had this amazing YouTube where he was always reflecting how spiritual he was, kind of showing others what it was like when you're coming at it from, I'm so spiritual, look at me.
Like a parody. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was amazing because we do sometimes get into that flow, not meaning to, and not coming at it from a in your face kind of way, but it can come off in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, look where I am, look how great I am, and you're not here. Mm-hmm. Our intention is to be inclusive, but sometimes it can come off the opposite. But when we're connected to our behaviors and we're connected to how we're really being perceived, then we can begin to understand that maybe that's a little more off-putting than we intend. Mm-hmm. And so let's just hold the space. And if someone is seeking that, then we can provide that, but we don't necessarily have to push it. We can offer it when asked.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, okay. Connection.
But now I've got to find him. So
yeah. So basically, like, connection can create awareness, and then awareness can create connection, and it can kind of be this beautiful cycle that we can help expand and deepen.
Yeah.
I like it. Any final thoughts on connection?
Those were my final thoughts. How about you?
I love it. No, I feel like we covered a lot today, and that's a really good place. And I'm excited for the rest of the conversations this month and for our great workbook that you beautifully put together, as you do each one every month. And so I'm just thank you for this beautiful connected conversation today. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for connecting and joining us for another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, here with co-host Austin. And if you know anyone that you feel would be an amazing guest and is a heart leader in your community or your life, please jump on over to the Suivera website, suivera.org, and find the Heart Leader Podcast tab. Submit them so that we can get in contact with them. We would love to talk with them. And also, you can join the Heart Leader Toolbox for free. We will include all of the information so that you can get this month's tool and all of the others that have been posted throughout these many months. There's a plethora of free information in there that can just help you continue to build out all of these heart leader attributes, and just will continue to fill it up so that the resources to get back to all of these wonderful foundational skills is always available to you. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you in the Heart Leader and Suivera community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on transformationtalkradio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.